Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
It's a hot button topic. Ben, you have pressed the hot button in the off season. I feel like we maybe burned it a little too early this year. Now we're not having anything to talk about the rest of the week. But look, people have their opinions. Your opinions are all valid. You can't argue at all. I can't sit here and argue and tell you, oh, no, he's got plenty of division titles and rings to fall back on. He doesn't. You're right. You have me there. But again, you can't argue the fact that this is, as Jesse Agler always says, you know, the golden era of Padres baseball, playoffs 4 out of the last 6 years, get to the dance and see what happens. And I put the onus again on the players. Once they get to the dance, we've got teams that are good enough to win it all. Three come to mind in the last 6 years. Teams that should have and could have won it all. The 3 out of the last 6 years. There's a couple of those playoff years. You're like, hey man, I'm just happy to be here. This year wasn't really one of those. 23 should have won the World Series with that team. And certainly last year, even the Dodgers said you were the World Series champions had you just pulled your head out of your ass. So I give him credit for that. He has had moves that have made me bananas, as you're watching Andrés Muñoz close the game out last night. Right, Matt Brash did actually serve it up, but he's nasty. There's no question. There are guys littered around the league that are good players that A.J. Preller has traded.
That move was over 5 years ago.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I mean, 5 years ago.
That's a different era almost entirely.
It is.
I love how we're stretching this conversation out. We're literally one sentence into Kevin Acey's offseason piece.
Okay, sentence two.
This is the sentence that we've spent 30 minutes discussing now. The Padres decision makers will meet in the coming weeks to go over many things, including discussions regarding an extension for President of Baseball Operations, A.J. Preller, and talks about the status of members of the coaching staff. In fact, we're only halfway into the sentence because the second half of the sentence is also pretty interesting here, and that is talks about the status of members of the coaching staff. And again, this is always a prickly issue because it's impossible to just lay all the blame on one coach. We've done it so many times with the hitting coach here in San Diego. But at some point, you also have to realize, how can that really be the right answer when it wasn't the right answer every other time you fired the hitting coach? So you can do it again and bring in someone else and change the message, change the philosophy. They were very excited about their philosophy this year. Remember how excited they were about Petco Park baseball and, you know, gap to gap, line drives, and how this was going to be the way that you were going to succeed. And then by the end of the year, when power numbers were down and they weren't, you know, hitting home runs, that, you know, third worst in baseball in home runs.
One of the worst offenses.
What a terrible philosophy you had this year.
Well, again, you talk about numbers, right? So if you want to say A.J. Preller has no rings and no division titles, I can't argue with you there. There's no argument. You're right. You can't argue with those numbers that we had one of the worst offenses in baseball. You know, one of the worst offenses in baseball, especially from a slug power OPS perspective. We were at the bottom, you know? And so that is one that you look at and go, okay. Now, fast forward that, play that forward. Who is available that's better? I got a question. I did this last night. I'll give you guys, either of you guys...
I don't know who the Blue Jays hitting coach is.
No. Ben, who's the Dodgers hitting coach?
I don't know who the Dodgers
Paulie,
hitting coach
any
is.
Any idea?
No.
I don't know that I can name any hitting coaches in baseball.
I know Kevin Long, and I think he's still with the Phillies.
Brett Boone.
We know Brett Boone, Texas Rangers.
And now they have a new manager. There's no even guarantee that they're going to keep the same coaches.
That's true. I have been talking with Skip. I may be.
Are you saying that one a tier one is going to fire another tier one in one of his first acts as manager?
Could you imagine? Oh my God!
Seems like that's just wrong. Tier one on tier one crime.
Yeah, this is gonna be awkward for all of us. But there was a I looked it up last night and I had forgotten already. Adrian Brody. He's an actor.
That's right. He is.
He was in the.
It is L.A.
He was in The Pianist. I did look this up last night.
They have two hitting coaches.
Yeah, go ahead.
Aaron Bates.
Yeah, Aaron Bates.
And Robert Van Skoyak.
Skoyak or something. Right. They're pretty good. They're pretty good. But their players are also very, very good. We have good players. And we said it many times this year. Why aren't we slugging? We have actual sluggers on this team that just don't slug anymore. Why is that? Did you see the name that surfaced over the weekend of a former big leaguer who was really ready to get back into the dugout and to be a full-time hitting coach for a team? Did you see the name that was floated around all weekend? And I read it and I laughed, and then that's all I thought about for the entire weekend. His name is Manny Ramirez. He wants to get back and be the hitting coach for a big league team. Now, think about Manny the player. Incredible. A Hall of Fame, talent. Obviously, I don't think he'll get in because of his extracurriculars. The guy could hit. He's the best right-handed hitter I've ever seen in my life, ever. But he would do weird stuff. Like they would say, Manny being Manny. Is he focused and dedicated enough to go 162 and beyond in spring training with these guys? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'll tell you this. I watch his videos all the time. The guy could still hit 245 at the big league level today. He's unbelievable. He's a huge name.
Why are we hiring him as a hitting coach then?
Just hire him as an DH. Benny, would that do anything for you? A guy like Manny Ramirez?
Here's the problem. I know the person who knew hitting the best in all of baseball in history.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn.
Yep.
Was never really able to convey that information.
Yeah, because you're not Tony Gwynn.
To his students. And so I don't know who's going to be an effective hitting coach or not. And keep in mind that where you're the hitting coach matters. You know, Petco Park is different. Dodger Stadium was actually, I think it might have even been number one in like helping home runs this year. It used to be a pitcher's paradise. Not anymore. Whatever has happened at Dodger Stadium, the ball for both the Dodgers and opponents carries very well there. Their power strategy works. Simply switching to a we need to pull the ball more strategy isn't an automatic win at Petco Park. It's a tough place to be a hitting coach. It always has been.
I heard a story yesterday from a friend that is in the business, and this is going to sting a little bit. But this friend was with four big leaguers that are currently big leaguers.
I heard this story.
Yeah, I heard this in the dugout yesterday. A friend works in the game of baseball and was in the hitting lab watching Christian Yelich. It was Yelich, Bellinger, and a couple other players. And he was just watching, and he worked there, and they're like, hey, what's your name? Hey, I'm so-and-so. Do you have any questions? You want to ask us anything? He goes, I have one question for you guys. He goes, I've been a Padre fan my whole life. Do you guys find it hard to hit at Petco Park? Is it hard to hit at Petco? Do you come into Petco and go, oh, God, we got to hit at Petco? Is it one of those? And it was actually Christian Yelich that looked at him and laughed. He goes, it's hard for the Padres to hit at Petco because the Padres don't have any hitters. That's what he said. He goes, nobody else on the planet thinks of it like this. Nobody. He goes, if you have hitters, you don't really care where you hit. You just don't. If you have good hitters hitters, you don't panic. That's from four big leaguers that all kind of.
When was that, though?
Like 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago, he says, no, if you're a good hitter and Petco Park doesn't freak you out at all. And we saw other teams. I think they had 14 more home runs than we did at Petco Park this year. So maybe it's in their head. Maybe it's the philosophy. From day one, if the philosophy is, hey, guys, it's really hard to hit here. It's really tough. So we're going to change our entire offensive approach. We're going to bunt a ton. We're going to bunt 50% more than the next team. Maybe it's a mental thing. Because it certainly was for these four all-star MVP caliber hitters that were hitting in the cage.
But the statistics do show it's true. No park suppressed ball flight more than Petco Park did this year.
None.
It was the hardest park to hit in? The barreled balls traveled the least far at Petco Park as any baseball park in all of Major League Baseball. It was the hardest to get the ball to travel furthest. So you'd barrel the ball, and it would die at the warning track, which
we saw so many times
this year. Balls that would be home runs other places and would die at the warning track at Petco Park. So you can't just say that it doesn't exist, because it does. The stats show that it exists.
I'm not saying it. Christian Yelich is saying it. Right. Like, Steve Woods is not saying that it's not hard to hit a Petco. Christian Yelich is saying if you have good hitters, you don't worry about it. And again, they don't look at it. The opposing teams don't look at it as some house of horrors to come into. You know, it's not the polo grounds. You know, like,
I don't know when this conversation happened.
It was like 2 years ago.
Because I do feel like now they do have good players. They do have good hitters.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I believe Fernando Tatis Jr. is still a good hitter. I believe Manny Machado is a good hitter. Xander Bogaerts was a good hitter this year. I think Jackson Merrill's got it in him. Gavin Sheets came out of nowhere. I wonder, was it just a philosophy thing?
Like, yes.
We're tweaking our launch angles. We're not going for the home runs. We're going to go for contact and getting on base. If that was in fact philosophy, where is that coming from? Does it need to be changed? Number one,
I say yes,
but I guess that's open to interpretation. And where is that coming from? Is it coming from Mike Schilt? Because then a new hitting coach isn't going to change anything,
right?
Or was it Victor Rodriguez said this is the key to success? Clearly it was not. Then you can make a change.
Look, the Manny Ramirez idea is crazy. It's bananas bat-ass crazy, right? But it's a name. It's a name, and he's out there, and he wants to get back into it, and the guy's an elite hitter. So I don't think they would, but it's bananas.
What star player ever became a great hitting coach?
Like, so they were just talking about Barry Bonds in the chat, and I'm like, yeah, but he was with the Marlins, you know? I don't know. I can't beat this dead horse anymore. Enough with this. I'm going to sacrifice myself for my teammate in the first inning or the third inning. That's got to stop. It has to end. Take the Lysol, get rid of all the bunting, sacrifice, giveaway out, flu in that clubhouse, and move forward next year. And I'm going to tell my stars, go be effing stars. And yes, try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if you don't, okay, like, try to find a gap. But I'm not going to have my cleanup hitter dropping down bunts in the third inning or fourth inning of a playoff game ever again. It's never going to happen again. That's one thing I would like to be assured of. Like, that 50% more. You need a sacrifice bunt in the eighth inning with your eight-hole hitter up to drive in a run? Fine. You need a suicide squeeze? You need a safety squeeze? Great. There's a time. You guys seen a ton of small ball in these playoffs? I'm watching every single game. And Real Muto came up the other day with first and second, nobody out. You know what he didn't do? He didn't effing bunt. He didn't bunt. You're not seeing it.
The Blue Jays did lay one down in one of their big innings.
Okay.
But
laying one down is fine. Laying down 50% more than everybody else is not okay.
They led the American League in sacrifice bunts.
We led the National League.
Correct.
They also led the American League in... We had twice as many as them, and they led the American League in most offensive categories.
They did. And the Padres never had 2 days in a row this season that I can remember like the Blue Jays just had against the Yankees over the weekend.
No, sir.
10-1, 13-7, and it was everybody. I mean, they got two home runs from Alejandro Kirk, two home runs from Vlad Guerrero Jr., two home runs from Dalton Varsho. George Springer went deep. Ernie Clement went deep. They had more... just sluggers throughout their lineup that slugged, that they actually slugged. And then throw in the pitching performance they got yesterday from a rookie making what, his third career start. And you can see why the Blue Jays all of a sudden are everyone's a hot pick to win the World Series.
I mean, they look pretty unbeatable right now when you slug the ball that much. But you're seeing it from every team, really. I mean, slugging is what's winning you ball games. We knew that. That was not a secret. You know, everybody talked about that. And I was a Victor Rodriguez gap-to-gap fan when it worked last year. I thought it was great. And then what happened in the playoffs, not only could you not slug, you couldn't even hit. You just stopped hitting entirely. So that again,
2 years in a row.
I look at that and I go, all right, that's a little bit more than an anomaly right now. So I don't know, man. It's weird. Baseball is weird. You watch two home runs last night from Jorge Polanco off of Tarek Skubal. Like, baseball is a weird, weird game. We know that. But to mitigate the damage, you got to have people that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. We just didn't.
Of course, that series has been really good. Tigers and Mariners now even at a game apiece after 2-3-2 games. Tigers won on Saturday in 11 innings on a Zach McGinstry RBI single in the top of the 11th. Mariners come back and win. And I was listening to Rick Riz in my car yesterday, the longtime voice of the Mariners. They had not won a home playoff game since 2001.
24
and years. Could hear the crowd. You could hear it in his voice.
It was electric.
Just how long they had waited for a game like that to get the best of Tarek Skubal and to pull it out. You know, the Tigers tied it up in the eighth, and I'd imagine there was a lot of panic in Seattle. Like, are we about to go down 0-2 and go back to Detroit? But to pull out that win yesterday, even that series, I can see that one going either way now. I mean, they still have one more Skubal start probably in game five back in Seattle. Kind of hope he gets there. One more game for all the marbles in Seattle would be really exciting. But, you know, that to me has been the best series, obviously, so far of the postseason between those two teams.
Best series because it's the closest. It's the one that's going back and forth. It's the one where you're watching the managers just chewing their nails and going nuts trying to figure out the right bullpen guy to bring in. And it's been really elect. It's probably gotten the least attention, but it has probably been the best.
I'm like Ben, I love some good play-by-play as well. I was watching that game on television. So Seattle gives up the lead in the top of the eighth, and then in the bottom of the eighth, Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh back-to-back doubles take the lead. Here is that Rick Riz, Seattle's home call on the double.
1-0 the count on Rodriguez. Cal will lead at second. Ready to bring home the mail, the stretch. And the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a line drive. Left field line. Fair ball. Into the corner. Cal running third being waved in. He's bringing home the mail. Julio in at second with an RBI double. And the Mariners have the lead. 3-2 here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Julio pumping his fist out at second base. The RBI double. Back-to-back doubles by Cal and Julio. And the Mariners have the lead.
Yeah, awesome.
T-Mobile Park was, and the fans were on their feet from basically first pitch the entire game. That was pretty cool.
Brewers, they were such a good crowd.
They were really good.
I had a bunch of friends that were at both games. I mean, dude, think about it. Like, anybody that is a Mariners fan, if you're 24 years old or younger, graduated college.
Yeah, graduated college. You've never seen that.
You've never seen your team win a playoff game.
Great. And you've only seen them in the playoffs
one other time? And I think they, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a wild card on the road a couple years ago, I think.
Bananas.
Toronto? Yeah, I don't know.
I think so. But that was it. I mean, 24 years. And last time they had won a home playoff game. Meanwhile, in the National League, the Brewers made their first game very uninteresting against the Cubs by scoring 9 runs in the first 2 innings against a Cubs team that looked like a completely different team than the one that faced the Padres. Big error by Nico Hoerner. They made no mistakes against the Padres, and they immediately started making mistakes against the Milwaukee Brewers that took them out of that game from the very beginning. However, the injury to Jackson Churio, he goes 3-for-3 in the first 2 innings, but then has to leave, and his status for the rest of the series with a hamstring pull is in question. That's very interesting because that's a key top-of-the-lineup type guy for the Milwaukee Brewers that they may be without. They can't necessarily put him on the injured list because that means he'd be out for the next series as well. You can't replace him, so they may be shorthanded going forward. Game two, of course, is tonight with Shota Imanaga. Aaron Ashby, Andy's nephew, is going to be opening for the Brewers with Quinn Priester likely coming in behind him. They played some shenanigans waiting a long time, both managers, to name their Game 2 starter.
Of course they did.
And then finally, of course, the Dodgers beat the Phillies 5-3 on Saturday in Game 1 of that series. Shohei gives up the 3. Philly looks like they're cruising behind Christopher Sanchez. Dodgers look like they're in trouble. And then, as they do so often, one big swing from one of their many guys, but usually it's someone named Hernandez. This time it's Teoscar.
No, it was Kike first.
Well, Kike first,
two,
and then Teoscar.
Drives in 2 runs to get him right back in it, and then you know right there the Dodgers are inevitable. We talked about clutch 6 weeks ago. I don't know what it is. Kike Hernandez, why would you even pitch to him? Why would you especially leave Sanchez?
He hit 200 this year.
Why would you let Sanchez, a lefty, pitch to Kike Hernandez with runners on base when you had David Robertson ready? And I don't know his splits, but I'm playing the matchups there. I'm not going with my heart there and letting Sanchez get through that because of the Reggie Jackson.
Bud Black said, "Don't manage with your heart."
The Reggie Jack, he did. He managed with his heart. He didn't manage with his head.
I don't know. I mean, what does your head say?
My head says I'm going to go to a righty against this righty.
That lineup, it's like Kike looks like the weakest link of their lineup.
But not in October. He's Babe Ruth in October. I don't throw him a pitch in the zone. That's the guy I'm like, this
who
guy.
Do you throw then to that? If you don't throw Kike,
who's the next
pitch,
guy after Kike?
I don't know. Probably Rortvedt at the bottom of the order.
I'm not pitching. Yeah. Kike Hernandez is not seeing.
But then you're getting right back up to Shohei.
It's 2 hours.
Mookie,
I'm getting him.
Freddie.
I'm going after him with a righty. I'm not letting Christopher Sanchez. Let him get through here, and then we'll call it. There's just no way.
Felt bad for our friend Matt Strom.
Me too.
The three-run go-ahead home run to Teoscar in the seventh.
Gets Shohei. Gets Mookie. Yeah. And then freaking Teoscar Hernandez, man, who had coughed up 2 runs defensively. Comes out, puts a big swing. He struck out 3 times. He just looked horrible. And then you throw him a fastball, and he just pounds it. And Dodgers win. Inevitable.
Yeah. One up, and game two is this afternoon, 3:08 our time, with who's the pitching matchup today? It is Blake Snell against Jesus Lazo.
How about Tyler Glass now coming in?
Yeah.
What, 7th inning or whatever that was?
He circumvent their own bullpen with starters. Now he can still start in game four on regular rest. So that's the plan for Dave Roberts going forward.
Must be nice.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, it is Don't Do This time. Mark Sanchez was the big story of the weekend.
Indeed.
The incident in Indianapolis. We'll get to that and more coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, gang, if you're trapped in a high-rate mortgage, if you're watching your hard-earned cash vanish every month, stop right now at Loan Pronto, delivering the lowest mortgage rates in 3 years. It is Woodsy to tell you that Loan Pronto's rate reduction home loan program, streamlined, low-cost way to slash your house payments by hundreds of dollars a month. You can lock in a fixed rate as low as 4.99% APR, close in as little as 2 weeks, no appraisal needed in most cases. And the kicker is you can skip your next 2 house payments entirely. Get yourself a little nest egg, all right? Don't wait. Rates this low will not last. Call Loan Pronto now for your free no-obligation quote. Loan Pronto is incredible. Lower payments, more money in your pocket, and a fresh start with a better mortgage, which is the dream. 619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Lock in the new low rate. Skip those next 2 payments entirely. 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
3 stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Let's get right to it. DDT brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Woods?
Nope. Mark Sanchez, USC, former USC quarterback and NFL quarterback as well. Now, calls games, and he's an analyst for Fox Sports. Yep. Gets to Indianapolis on Friday for a Sunday game and decides, I'm going to go out and have a few pops, probably not very uncommon, goes out to Lau Miller's, which is a bar in the Indianapolis area. And at about 12:30 a.m., he was stabbed. He suffered stab wounds to his upper torso. He was rushed to the hospital in critical condition, upgraded the next day to stable condition. So you saw a lot of people coming out with words of support for Mark Sanchez, and I think it's okay to support Mark Sanchez. You don't want to see your buddy or guy you work with get stabbed, no matter what he did, right? But it turns out this was a different story than was initially portrayed. Turns out Mark Sanchez was actually the guy that had kind of started this whole altercation with a 69-year-old man. He parked his truck, his box work truck, by a loading dock that was used, Ben. He would get, like, the cooking oil from the restaurant. Apparently, Mark Sanchez was under the influence and was running wind sprints in the alley, which is very weird. And then he got mad that the guy parked his truck there and was trying to get in this guy's truck. And the guy's like, dude, 69-year-old man did not have his hearing aid in. So he didn't really know what was going on. All he knew is he saw a drunken, kind of crazed man trying to get in his truck come at him. And they had an altercation. The man pepper sprayed Sanchez in the face. He kind of wiped his eyes. Didn't affect him very much. Came at him again. Threw him down. The guy took his knife out and stabbed him in the chest 3 times. And Sanchez was dazed and kind of staggered away. Obviously not a... not a great situation for all involved. And then yet the next day, as he's upgraded into stable condition, Ben, they the cops come in and arrest him because he was the one that actually kind of started the whole thing.
Wow.
And the guy was acting in self-defense. So pretty crazy story. Now, again, he's lucky he didn't die. Lucky he didn't die, Mark Sanchez. But like he could potentially have lost his job and his livelihood and career as well. After this assault on this 69-year-old man.
Fox Sports got very careful on Sunday with their statements.
Did they?
Like we're hoping for a speedy recovery and everyone involved in the incident. And we are, you know, they just were like not sure what to say once they found out that it was Sanchez who was
the aggressor
in the situation.
Not so much a victim as originally everyone thought.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot to change his legacy from the butt fumble being
this
his biggest legacy, but this actually could.
Yeah, he's out of a job, right? After all this?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, like,
Brady Quinn replaced him on the game on Sunday quite quickly. And
somebody tweeted yesterday, oh man, those Sunday scaries hit worse for Mark Sanchez. You wake up and you're like, what happened exactly? He told the police, he said, I don't really remember much. I remember I was like hanging onto a window and that's all I remember. So he was blacked out.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just a cautionary tale, guys.
Not good. All right, it's already 7:30, so let's get right to doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
I thought this was a lot of fun. Sunday Night Football last night, pretty big upset win as the New England Patriots and Drake May knock off the last undefeated team remaining in football, the Buffalo Bills. Both the Bills and Eagles lost yesterday, so every team has a loss. But the fun part was during the game when I believe it was Josh Allen, who was scrambling near the end zone, didn't have anyone to throw it to, so decided just to heave it into the stands, first row of the stands, where a fan catches the football. And at that point, Mike Tirico on NBC Sports takes over with the play-by-play.
Josh turns. And nice catch there. He's gone. Milano. Milano's going to go. He's in row 10. He's in row 15. He might get a beer. Milano, where are you going, man? It's your moment. Milano, row 40, led by Allen. He's going to take it the distance. Maybe it wasn't his seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be on TV. He's gone.
Guy catches the ball. It's like catching a foul ball. You catch a foul ball, you turn and you haul ass up the stairs.
I think you're supposed to return those
footballs, and he didn't want to. I wondered,
did he make it all the way out of the stadium with the football before someone made him give it back?
If Josh Allen threw me a pass in the stands and I caught it and they tried to take it from me, it would have been like, over my dead body, I'm keeping this ball.
And he had his name on the back of his jersey, Milano.
Yeah,
so
Milano.
That's why Mike Tirico was saying that. It's going to be pretty easy probably to track that guy down.
Is Milano not a player for the Bills?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he is.
I think he might be.
Is he one of them? But he tried to get out of there, and I don't know. I mean, he made pretty good time up those
Matt
steps.
Matt Milano, linebacker.
Okay, linebacker.
Yeah, so he had the linebacker's
jersey.
So he
could be anybody.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Is this a safe space?
Yes. Yeah.
Let's leave that bit to Kevin Harlan.
It's fair.
Kevin did a great job with the streak.
Is that not exactly what he was trying to do?
Yes, that's exactly.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field.
Yeah.
Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from
coats.
The left. Oh,
yeah, Harlan did it better. Harlan did it way better.
You're right.
Props for trying.
Harlan did it best.
My first thought was, he does not want to give that ball back.
No.
I don't think he was in the wrong seat. I think he's like, hey, I'm not giving this back. I'm a huge Bills fan.
I'm gone.
Josh, I just caught a pass from Josh Allen.
I'm gone.
I'm taking it.
I am gone.
Now, if they did get him, and I'm sure we'll find more information about it. Somebody will do a TikTok on it later. But I'm sure if they do end up grabbing it from him, Matt Milano, Josh Allen will probably make it right for the guy. That was pretty sick.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We will chat with Craig Elston up next. Get his thoughts on A.J. Preller, Padres Hot Tub, and SDFC's big win at Houston over the weekend. All coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
All right. We have some time on our hands now. And now, if you've got some extra time on your hands and you feel like playing a little cards, why not head to our favorite, the best card room in San Diego? It is 7 Mile Casino.
You okay?
I'm all right.
Having a hard time getting the words out about our beloved 7 Mile Casino. We've been longtime partners with them. They have certainly opened up their doors for us many times. You will really like it if you have not had the chance to experience it yet. Head on down just 7 minutes from downtown. Got all the food and drink you could possibly ask for, Benny. They got TVs there. They got a great bar area and a beautiful patio. Overlooks the bay, but they got all the card games you want to play too.
Yeah, it's comfortable. I enjoy the Texas Hold'em, ones like California style blackjack, Pai Gow Baccarat. Also, the proximity, of course, is unbeaten. No long drive into the East County. 45 minutes more and back. You're already playing cards. 7 minutes away, you hit right off the 5 freeway in Chula Vista. Stay on the west side of the freeway, Bay Boulevard. You're pulling right in and playing in San Diego's best card room. Check it out today at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store and everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 11/1. Plus, save even more with the Easy Rewards Pro Staples. I see Craig Elston standing by on our YouTube stream. He will join us with some final Padres thoughts, and we'll talk SDFC coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, as we welcome Craig Elston in, it's hard to believe that last time we talked to you last Monday, we hadn't even started the wild card series, and now the playoff run is over. So, Craig, why don't you give us your big picture thoughts on the Padres elimination and what we as fans should take away from that best of three series against the Cubs?
Okay, on multiple levels, there's plenty to take away. I would start with, on the broadest level, to say that without Michael King as the ace in your rotation, able to give you 6-7 innings, without Ramon Laureano, the only big right-handed bat that you went to get at the deadline, with him out of the lineup, the Padres didn't have enough juice to go all the way this year.
Yeah.
They could have beaten the Cubs. They probably should have beaten the Cubs.
Yep.
You make the argument. They might have been able to beat the Brewers, but they were going to get hosed down the road. They just didn't have enough starting pitching. The pitching that they had wasn't going deep enough. And you can only run those relievers out there like dray horses, like one series. You know, when I saw Suarez in the sixth inning, to me, that's the ultimate sign of despair, is when you've gone to your last option in the sixth inning and you're like, well, you know, we'll just figure it out from here.
Yeah.
So that's on one level, is they probably didn't have the juice when all was said and done. Obviously, the strike call in the ninth inning of game three is a travesty and an embarrassment to Major League Baseball. But the thing that bothered me the most about that was it was an excuse to let some of the Padres off the hook for their poor performance over the course of the series. And from a, you know, star standpoint, obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. has to come so much more correct than he did. I'm sure you guys felt this way, but I'll ask you the question. When you saw the look in his eyes in the top of the first inning, as he swung over pitches by a foot and a half and trudged back to the dugout, did you not feel like something was wrong with Toddy that day?
Yes, 100%. And then, you know, the next AB as well. And then the next AB as well. And then he did square one up, I think. Hit it fairly deep off of Palencia, I do believe. But it's a tone setter, right, that day. And you saw it and you're like, oh, we're doing this already. We're swinging at three pitches and shuffling our feet like my four-year-old back to the dugout. We're doing this in the first inning of a must-win game. Yeah, man, the place I was at, too, you couldn't even, I mean, nobody could breathe. There was no excitement, no nothing, and he really set the tone in a negative way. But Manny, you know, another awful series in October, you know, Arise, not a great series as well. It's tough, man. 1-3 does nothing. It's going to be really hard for the San Diego Padres to do anything. Doesn't matter who they have in the lineup, Craig. 1-3, 1-4, they got to produce.
They do. And in that series, they did not. And in any 2 or 3 game sample, literally anything can happen. So on that level, what are you going to do? Fire Toddy? Fire Manny? Nope, right. They're going to be back. Arise should not be back. That is a player that needs to leave this organization now that he is a free agent. Because, guys, I heard you in the 7 segment while I was walking the pug talking about power and talking about, you know, hitting coaches and going to a celebrity hitting coach hire, which is never the right decision.
Never. but interesting. Know,
like right. Like the best hitting coach in the league is Kevin Long.
Right.
You know, do we remember all of his 45 homer seasons in Major League Baseball? You know, so point being, I don't think it's the hitting coach. I don't think it's Petco Park. I don't think it's even the line-to-line philosophy. I think if you want to get to the number which you need, which is 180 homers in the regular season to have a viable power offense, you can't give first base to a guy who gets 6 or 7 homers.
Yeah.
That's like the Padres finished about 25 homers short of where they needed to get to this year. That could literally just be first base.
Yeah, first baseman.
That could be a 30-homer first baseman that changes things. So I think there were some personnel choices along the way that led the Padres down that path, but you do have to cancel the culture that encourages your cleanup hitter to sacrifice a runner from first to second.
Yeah.
That has to stop. That's grade school mistakes. And it's part of why Mike Schilt really got the most of my ire, boys, for the week. I think he showed a lot of weaknesses in terms of how he manages an offense over the course of that series.
Craig, where do you stand on the future of A.J. Preller as he goes into the last year of his contract? Do you believe he should and will get a contract extension?
This should be absolutely project number one for the San Diego Padres front office. A.J. Preller has built a machine that only he can run.
Yes, yes.
And
convenient, isn't it?
Very smart.
Pretty genius.
Very convenient. Very smart of him.
It is.
But, he has made himself indispensable.
I look at this on two levels, guys. Let's start on the Padres level, all right? On the Padres level, if you let A.J. Preller go, and you agree, like we all do agree, he's built a machine only he can run, then you only have one choice. Tear down the machine. Build a different machine. And that means, I don't even know what that means, because you're locked into so many long-term contracts already for San Diego. It means an uncomfortable path that I don't think anybody wants. It probably means a 3 or 4 year, hey, we got to get the farm system in order, rebuild, when, as we know, Preller does that on microwave year after year. But now, please follow me down the road to part two. AJ's gone. Your house is in disorder. AJ doesn't disappear off the map. He's still a human being working in baseball.
Yes.
He will be hired by a top organization within 2 to 3 weeks to be their head of their scouting department or their assistant to the general manager or whatever. And could you imagine LA, Seattle, the Mets, pick your team, the Cubs, being fortified with Preller's ability to build a farm system every single year? I think it's a complete disaster for San Diego. So, yeah, Preller, extend him. That's job number one for the Padres this winter.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, Craig, let's turn our attention to SDFC for a couple of minutes here. A much-needed win. Now, it was on the road again.
They love the road.
Which they just
road
love.
Road Warriors, man.
Love the road. The dramatic, best. Late goals. I mean, we've seen it time and time again this season. They'll have one more road game before the end of the regular season, which, you know, probably go out and get another big win. But eventually, they're going to have to return home for the playoffs. And somehow, that's now worrisome.
I know, right? It's hilarious. But what happened in that match was really, really, really important for SDFC. Not the win. The win was great. The win was important. It gives them the records for most points, most wins as an MLS expansion team. Incredible stuff. It gives them a chance to hang on to number one in the Western Conference. Amazing. But that's not it, guys. What's it is Amal Pellegrino. The SDFC,
okay, so
the Clamatos.
I hadn't heard of this guy necessarily. He was kind of a newcomer, right?
So after Milan Olasky was let go,
yep.
SDFC at the end of the transfer window brought in two central forwards. They brought in a guy named Corey Baird, and they brought in Amal Pellegrino. Pellegrino's a 36-year-old veteran. He had been overseas. He's played in MLS for a couple of years. He was kind of on the back of the bench for San Jose. He wasn't being used. Baird's a guy who was Rookie of the Year about 3-4 years ago. His play had fallen off a little bit. All the way until Saturday. The biggest story for SDFC's offense was they just don't have a center forward, what's called a number nine. They don't have that guy in the middle that is the player that's supposed to stick the goals in. They've been relying on their wingers. Well, in the second half, Mikey Varas in Houston subbed in Amal Pellegrino. He had been starting Pellegrino the last 2-3 matches, and he didn't do anything. He looked like a complete zero out there. But Pellegrino is much more of a guy that comes off the bench to give you a spark. He came off the bench, and did he give them a spark? He contributed to all 4 goals.
It's awesome.
And it reminded you immediately of what it looks like when Dreyer and Lozano have someone that they can play off of and that can play off of them. So if Pellegrino can be off the bench, that guy, kind of like Olasky was to start the year, that second-half super sub that comes in and locks down the nine, that gives them room to get Marcus and Ingvartsson back healthy, and Baird can start there in the in-between. But I'm telling you guys, this is the decision point on which SDFC season will ride or fall. Can their nine get them goals and assists? If so, they can win the cup. If not, they will come up short.
One more, right? One more regular season game?
Yeah. We didn't get any help from San Jose. Vancouver beat them yesterday, so they're tied for first place, but Vancouver still has an extra game to amass points. So if they just get a win and a tie,
yeah,
there's nothing SDFC can do about it.
Even with a win.
They could only finish in second place.
Ah, it's a bummer.
At best, but if they get a little help in the last two, it's not out of the question.
And win.
They can still, and win their last game next world, 2 weeks from now in Portland. They still could win the Western Conference.
That's exactly right. And listen, if you finish second, that's fine too, right? You're still getting home field all the way until conference final.
We don't want home field to the conference final. That's one of those weird situations. It's like, yeah, we want it. It'd be great. The fans deserve it. But I don't know, guys. Do you think we can win a game here?
The MLS playoffs are weird.
It's odd.
I was just looking into it. So they start with a best of three series. So you'd get two at home and one on the road,
right.
And it's like a normal, like a wild card series in baseball. But after that, they don't jump up to like best of five or best of seven.
No,
then it just goes to
one
game the rest of the way.
That's so
it's
odd.
So strange.
That three?
You know what it is? It's straight up marketing, boys. This is about give every they overextend the playoffs. You know, 16 out of 30 teams get in.
Yeah.
And then you get everyone gets a home gate. That's the thing. Everyone gets at least one home gate. And then at that point, it becomes, let's get this damn thing over with. single a limb. Let's get out of here. Come on. Eight, four, two, gone.
That's incredible. I did not know that. Yeah. Three?
The first round takes forever. Weeks to take three, the first round. And then it's just boom, boom, boom. It's over.
Oh, my God.
Serious.
Maybe they should do this with all sports. All right. This is starting to drag on a little bit with all of these. That's awesome, dude. Well, thank you, Craig. You crushed it all season long, man. Really appreciate it. And, yeah, dude, I don't know what our plans are moving forward. But if you're down to keep it rolling, let's keep it rolling as long as we can.
No, let's keep going. No problem. You know, the winter's all full of fun. And, you know, we can talk more TV when we get into the...
When we get into the dead period. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. All right, fellas. Take care.
Craig Elston, Padres Hot Tub, Cro-Maniacs, and Crossing Streams podcast. You can check out all of his content wherever you consume your podcasts. Now, we've talked about the general manager and the coaching staff. Obviously, that's the good place to start an off-season discussion. But, you know... the players are the most important thing.
Indeed.
And there's some big decisions to be made on players. We'll talk about that coming up in the second half. But free agents to be Michael King, Dylan Cease, I mean, Luis Arraez, just heard Craig say. Is it that simple? Like, okay, Luis Arraez, you're done? Is there not a scenario in your head that it makes sense to bring back Luis Arraez? Affordably. I wouldn't offer him like a qualifying offer or anything. He would jump at that. Like $22 million. You can't risk giving him a qualifying offer. But if he's not
I don't think he's gonna be used the right way.
Correct.
So I don't want back. Him on
it's
the
not
roster.
Even it's not him.
Yeah,
but
it's
as your starting
him.
First baseman, it doesn't you I think Craig's right. I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
When you need power, and that's one position where you can generally find power, not necessarily expensively. Yeah, Pete Alonso would be the expensive first baseman, but you can usually find a first baseman that can give you a few pops.
Don't even say it. You do this every year.
What?
When's the last first baseman we had that could give us, quote, a few pops?
Other teams find first
other
baseman.
Teams. We'll just go get a corner outfielder. It's no big deal. The first baseman orchard is rotten. It's dead, especially here.
Then maybe you need a rise back if you can't find someone else.
That's just a body.
All right, we'll come back. Two more hours of Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.